There's a part of the Christmas story that you've probably never heard before, but could change your life and bring you peace this Christmas. Hey, I'm Kyle. Welcome to Crossroads. And I'm going to make an assumption that we all know the same Christmas story, right? You got Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the wise men, but what about everybody else? I mean, is there anybody else? Well, the truth is the Christmas story goes much further than just your classic nativity scene. And today we're gonna uncover some of the unexpected supporting characters of Christmas, people left in the shadows, but who hold significance for our lives today and can unlock the peace that you need this Christmas. I've asked my friend Hannah to tell us about one of those characters, a woman named Elizabeth.
If we uncover the hidden characters of Christmas, we can unlock a new perspective that affects our lives today. Hey, I'm Hannah, and at the end of today's episode, if you engage, you're gonna see how God can actually be good in the middle of uncertainty and how you can have peace this Christmas. Today, I'm gonna tell you about a hidden character who knew all too well about the power of believing in the goodness of God. Now, when I say hidden character, I'm not actually talking about someone who's invisible, but rather someone who is a major, minor character, Elizabeth. So whether you know the Christmas story or not, the name Elizabeth is just not in the mix. She and her family sort of go unnoticed, and kind of like maybe best supporting actor at the Oscars, if you know what I mean. Or better yet, she's like hair and makeup, who actually are a segment of the Oscars. I bet you didn't know that, but she never gets any airtime. See, just like hair and makeup, she sets the stage for Jesus. To see how Elizabeth matters and believes in the goodness of God and why it matters to you, we're gonna go on a little bit of a journey. We'll see how Elizabeth was related to Jesus, was visited by an angel, miraculously defied science, and had a baby leap in her womb. Now, I'm trying to put my feet in Elizabeth's shoes right now. So if you know the Christmas story, imagine you've got Mary, you've got Joseph, the manger, the angels, the whole nine yards, the shepherds, everyone's there. And basically everything that you can get in a nativity set if you buy it at Target for $17.99. No, I'm just kidding. It really is on sale though, for real. Okay, that doesn't matter. I'm putting myself in Elizabeth's shoes because imagine Elizabeth is not at the scene and she's not even talked about, but I think she should be because she was busy having a miraculous baby of her own months before her, wait for it, cousin Mary. Yes, Mary and Elizabeth are cousins. Before Mary even met the angel. Now, Mary and Elizabeth are cousins, they're relatives, and we know that Mary is Elizabeth's little cousin. And we know this because the Bible says Elizabeth was old. It's blunt, it's not even sugarcoating it, calling her elderly or seasoned. It's just like she was old. And what may seem cruel is actually crucial because that bluntness is what lets us know that she was well past her childbearing years and that her pregnancy would have been scientifically and physically impossible. Now, this is not the first time that God would have used a miraculous baby to begin an epic story. Hundreds of years earlier, two people by the name of Abraham and Sarah also had a miraculous baby that kicked off a series of epic events. And so here we are again with two old people about to have a miracle baby. Now, the miracle was that she was having a baby as an older woman, but it was more than that, a miracle because she was having a baby after years of not being able to have a baby. She was barren. She was empty on the inside. She could not have a child even if she tried and tried and tried. Now, imagine. Like I said, I'm trying to put myself in Elizabeth's space and in her shoes, what that would have emotionally felt like. What would it have been like to want to do the one thing that you probably believed you were created for, to have a child and not be able to do it? She would have been emotionally and socially outcast, shamed, hurt, defeated, and yet the Bible calls her faithful. Now, if you're tracking with me, you might be wondering, Hannah, where in the world is the goodness of God? And honestly, I'm with you. I don't know, child. I do not know. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's a good question, though. My point is, you have a good question. Because Elizabeth was probably finally in the place where she was okay with being barren. She had spent years with the whispers, and she was probably finally over it. She probably was just like, you know what? Me and my husband, who's a priest, are going to live lives of service and ministry pouring out into our community. And that is right around the time when things started to shake up. So let's hear how the story starts. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they both were very old. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Angel actually visited her husband. I know, I said it visited Elizabeth, but that's like the same different-ish because, you know, two become one, that whole thing. Well, anyway, the semantics doesn't matter. The point is, an angel came, and there is a lot to unpack in the scripture, and maybe even some question marks. But one of the things that stick out to me the most is when Zechariah asked, "How can I be sure of it?" And it sticks out because I think I would have asked the same thing. I think after a life of disappointment, maybe some unanswered prayers, some broken dreams, some prayers in my own life that I've just given up on praying, I think I would have asked the same thing. And I'm gonna dare to say, Zechariah and I, maybe we aren't alone in that thinking. Maybe that's you as well. So Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, he comes home, right? And he's mute. Like, he is mute. He was talking before he went to work, and then he came home from work, and now he's not talking. And he's trying to sign to her. He's like, "We're gonna have a baby. His baby's gonna be named John. It's gonna be special. It's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be this really cool thing." And I can only imagine that Elizabeth is like, "Are you playing a sick joke on me? What's happening?" She might be asking God, "Where is your goodness? Are you joking right now? Where is it in this moment?" And you know what? I think that maybe the goodness of God looks like Zechariah shutting up. Yeah, I know that's shocking, but I think it was a good thing because in the next moment, it happened just as Gabriel said it would. Elizabeth does get pregnant, and for like 2.5 seconds, all things science take a back seat because something supernatural is taking place. The Bible says that Elizabeth became pregnant and she went into seclusion for 5 months. Now, that little detail about seclusion is actually unclear. We aren't sure why she decided to be secluded. Maybe she was sick, maybe she was just over it, didn't feel like being bothered. But it doesn't matter because what we do know is that it made her next visitor that much more special. At some point during Elizabeth's seclusion, way on the other side of town, the angel Gabriel is busy starting the Christmas story as we know it. He appears to Mary and he tells her of the birth of Jesus. And shortly after that, Mary comes to visit Elizabeth.
At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her."
We're going to get right back to the story of Elizabeth, but I want you to know that we're here for you during this holiday season. If at any point in this episode, you have questions, you want prayer, you need anything, just connect with us at online.crossroads.net. Now, this whole thing, Crossroads, is funded by people, regular people who believe in what we're doing and want to see more of it. If you're a giver, thank you. And if you want to join the mission, you can give at crossroads.net/give. Now, back to Hannah.
So Mary goes to see Elizabeth, and the Bible says that she hurried there. And that hurrying is not her just like crossing the street. That's her traveling 90 miles with what I can imagine was probably morning sickness and by herself. Maybe she was tired. And she does this not just to drop off the baby shower gift, even though that's probably important. She does it because she wants to see if the word of God came true. Now, when Mary arrives, it kicks off a series of supernatural events and all sorts of crazy things start happening. When Elizabeth hears Mary's voice for the first time, the baby inside of her leaps. Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't never heard of no baby leaping. I've heard of it kicking and doing that weird thing where it leans up against your ribs and causing heartburn and maybe even doing that little alien swipe thing that I've seen. I've heard of all that, but I've never heard of a baby leaping. And this baby leaps, and right after that, it kicks off a series of supernatural events because Elizabeth is right then filled with the Holy Spirit. And she's filled because she knows about the birth of Jesus even before Mary can get it out of her mouth. Remember that the angel told Zechariah that the baby would be filled with the Spirit before he was born. And it's the Holy Spirit that allows Elizabeth not just to regard Mary as her little cousin, but as the mother of the soon coming King, Jesus. Now, maybe you've yet to see where the goodness of God is in this story. Maybe you're like, Elizabeth actually hasn't experienced it, but I want you to hang on and see. Now, at the end of that video that you just saw, you heard Elizabeth say to Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Now, she was talking to Mary, but she really could have been talking about both of them. She really could have been saying, "Blessed are us girlfriends, blessed are us BFFs, blessed are us cousins who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to us." Because the blessing, yes, was the child, but it wasn't just about the child who was on the way. The blessing was that Elizabeth and Mary both got to see and believe the goodness of God. Now, what about you? Do you believe that God is good? He has good things for you. In a sec, we're gonna sing a song. And I want you to think about that very question. Do you believe that God is good?
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. That I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been so, so good. Breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful, my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able,
See, I like that song because it's a song of faith and trust. It says, all my life you've been faithful. All of my life you've been so, so good. And so with every breath that I'm able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Now, you've gotta have some faith to sing that, because there are days that you don't wanna use your breath to think about the goodness of God, because there are days where it doesn't feel like He's good. But I wanna let you know something. We don't have to just think about the goodness of God. All we have to do is believe that He is good. This story takes place in the book of Luke. And in that book alone, there's three different Greek translations of the word good. One of those translations is agathos, which means worthy of affirmation and morally excellent. You know, I think Elizabeth, who was described as a faithful woman, someone who revered God, would have described God this way. She would have said, yeah, He's good, but in the sense that He is morally excellent. I know this because my elders told me so. I believe that He's good, but in the sense that He should be adored. You know, I think that after her miracle, she could have exclaimed God's goodness in another way, one that's more personal and one that requires trust.
When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. They were going to name him after his father, Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him.
Another translation for the word good is Christos, which loosely translates to kindness or benevolence. So after receiving her miracle, Elizabeth and Zechariah can describe God not just as a good God who's morally excellent, but a God who has shown them kindness, who has shown them benevolence in giving them a son. And not only can Elizabeth and Zechariah say this, but everybody around them gets to say this because they're witnessing the miracle. They're seeing the benevolence come to life, and they are in awe of the goodness of God. Now, like I said, that song we just sang, it takes faith. Because sometimes seeing the goodness of God is difficult. Because some days you may feel like Elizabeth, where you feel like a failure, you feel dry and broken and barren, and there are broken dreams and unanswered prayers and things and places that you thought you'd be and you just aren't there. Or maybe you're more like Zechariah and you're struggling to believe in general. How can God be good when things don't work out? How can God be good when all of these negative and undesirable things keep coming my way? Those are all valid questions. And I hear you and I empathize with you because I've been there. This Christmas, we're talking about receiving peace. Well, peace comes when we put our trust in God. Peace comes when we believe that there is a kind and benevolent God who wants us to have good things. And all of those good things, whatever they are for you, they're available to you to receive right now. Because when we believe, it helps to put us in this posture to receive God's goodness. You don't have to be a relative of Jesus. You don't have to be visited by an angel, defy science, and you definitely don't have to have a baby leap in your womb to receive the goodness of God. You simply have to believe.
Elizabeth's story is the start to the Christmas story that we never knew, and it can change the way we respond to God this Christmas. Part of what makes Christmas amazing is the opportunity to give back. As a community, we go out of our way to bless people during the holiday season. One way that you can join us in doing that is through the Christmas Gift Drive. For more info on that, just go to online.crossroads.net. Now, there are more Christmas stories that you may not know that can impact your life today, and that's exactly what we'll be talking about next week on Crossroads. Our modern take on Christmas is that we celebrate Jesus by waking up, running to the Christmas tree, and opening presents. In other words, we get what we want now, today. but there's a star on top of your tree begging you to take a different perspective.